over 1,000 years, Christians have commemorated the death of Jesus on Friday with a Good Friday service or a Tenebrae service. Tenebrae is just a Latin word that refers to shadows or darkness. And we think about the Good Friday and talking about shadows and darkness, and it seems to be in contrast to the light, the hope of Resurrection Sunday. But what makes the hope of the Sunday resurrection, the light that it brings, is truly understanding the darkness of our sin and the darkness of the sufferings of Jesus. So tonight we're going to enter into the darkness. We're going to enter into the suffering that Christ went through in our life. And so I want to just let you know this is going to be a little heavier in tone. It's going to be more reflective. But I really want to challenge you and encourage you to participate, not just to sit back and to receive and listen. It's not going to be a lot of teaching. It's going to be reflective. We're going to read a lot of scripture passages together. And so engage your heart. Reflect on it. See yourself in these words. See your Savior, Christ, and the reason that he went to the cross. And what I believe as we go through these verses and these thoughts together and sing these songs, what I expect to happen is that we're going to have similar thoughts to John Newton. John Newton said these words, "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." Let's start with an understanding of ourselves as a great sinner. Now, some of you may be offended by that. You may think, I'm not a great sinner, but I do know some people who are great sinners. And that's a common understanding as we think about, but think about how God defines sin, how the scriptures define sin. Sin isn't just making bad choices or making mistakes. Sin is when we do anything with a wrong motivation, when we have an impure thought, when we say an unkind word. Sin is not doing the things that we know to do, remembering the poor, showing mercy, being patient with people, loving neighbor as ourselves. Sin is doing anything from a motivation other than loving God or praising God. So when you define sin like that, I don't think that there's an hour that goes through a day when we don't sin. And think about that multiplied over 75, 80 years. There's got to be millions and millions of sins. We are great sinners. And we have a problem with God because of our sin. I just think about this week alone. Where were we anxious about the future? Where were we irritable towards a family member in our own house? Where are we concerned and trying to control life ourselves rather than trusting God? So, is our sin a problem as it relates to God? Yes, yes, it's a big problem. Look at these scriptures, verses. Let's start with Isaiah 59, verse 2. "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Ephesians 2, 12. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Because of our sin, because of our inability to save ourselves from our sin, we have no hope. We are without God in the world. But Jesus paid the debt that we could never pay back ourselves. Jesus paid it all. Let me invite you to sing along with our song, "Jesus Paid It All."
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I find thy power in thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
What's the greatest demonstration of love that you have seen or heard about? And I'm not talking about those romantic moments in a movie between a man and a woman. As we think about a demonstration of love, the greatest demonstrations of love that I've heard about always involve a sacrifice. I think about a mom who sacrifices her health, who sacrifices her dreams for her child. Think about a soldier who throws himself into harm's way in order to protect the life of his troop. In fact, it's the laying down of one's life that is a demonstration of love. Jesus came to lay down his life for us. In 1 John 3:16, it says these words, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." And then in John 10, Jesus said these words, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. But would we do the same for Jesus? Would we lay down our lives for him? Maybe you've heard the story of Peter. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. Peter was a friend of Jesus. He was there for over 3 years in the life of Jesus and saw his miracles and saw his authoritative teaching. And when Jesus told his disciples that he was about to be arrested and ultimately die, Peter was mad and he raised up and said, "Lord, I am willing to go to prison for you. I am willing to be put to death for you." But what happened? After Jesus was arrested and taken away, the Bible tells us that Peter denied Jesus, even to a servant girl. "I don't know him. I wasn't with him." Peter denied Jesus. Peter was unwilling to lay down his life for him. We're like Peter. We profess a belief in Jesus and a willingness to lay down our life, but we don't. Daily, weekly, there are moments when we deny him in our own life. We have sinned. We have failed to love our Savior. But this, Jesus says, is the reason that I have come, to lay down my life for you. In the Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 20, "And the soldiers led him away inside the palace," that is, the governor's headquarters, "and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him, kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him."
Come. His is the throne, now and forever. He is the King of heaven. Sing to Jesus, we are His. This is the throne, now and forever. He is the King of heaven. Sing to Jesus, we are His.
The prophet Isaiah tells us that the death of Jesus would be awful. He would be beaten. He would be scorned. He would experience tremendous pain. But why? Why would Jesus do this? Because of our sin. Because there was no other way for our sin to be removed from us. He did it because He loved us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit designed this rescue for us. And in their wisdom, and in the only way, Jesus had to undergo a horrific death on our behalf. Listen to the words of Isaiah talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. Isaiah 53, surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The death of Jesus was to remove our iniquity, the millions and millions of sins, the ways that we have rejected God, denied God, been indifferent towards God, have been laid on Christ. And when Christ died, He took away all of our sins. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, "Why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." In John chapter 19, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. Jesus did all that was necessary to forever put away our sin. It is finished. Let's sing and remember what Christ has accomplished.
And mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. See, it rends the rocks asunder, shakes the earth and veils the sky. It is finished, it is finished. Hear the dying Savior cry. It is finished, it is finished. Hear the dying Savior cry. It is finished, oh, what pleasure do these charming words afford. Heavenly blessings without measure flow to us from Christ the Lord. It is finished, it is finished, saints, the dying words record. It is finished, it is finished, saints, the dying words record. Finished all the types and shadows of the ceremonial law. Finished all that God had promised. Death and hell no more shall awe. It is finished, it is finished. Saints, from hence your comfort draw. It is finished, it is finished. Saints, from hence your comfort draw. Tune your harps to new ye seraphs, join to sing the pleasing theme. Saints on earth and all in heaven, join to praise Emmanuel's name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to the bleeding lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to the bleeding lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to the bleeding lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to the bleeding lamb.
It is finished. To anyone who flees to Jesus for salvation, and you have to do that. Everyone has to go to Christ We cannot save ourselves. God's not going to just wave his arm and forgive everybody of their sins. It's finished for those who run to Christ by faith and cling to him as their only source and hope of salvation, hope of being forgiven. And when you do, Christ says, it is finished. The wrath of God is no longer directed towards you, for I have taken it upon myself. We're going to read a passage from Romans right now, and there's a lot of pronouns in there of we and us. And as I read through it slowly, I want you to think about the we and the us being you. Listen for yourself in this story. Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The darkness of Friday on the cross has brought us life. It has brought us forgiveness for all of our sins. Every one of our sins have been laid on Christ and have been covered, washed. Even the most terrible sins that we hide from people, we don't want anyone to know. If we throw them on Christ by faith, they are forgiven. They are forgiven, never to be held against us. In Christ, it is finished. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, we have life. That's the message of the cross. That's the demonstration of God's love, that we who were great sinners, we have a great Savior. Listen to the words from this last song before we sing it. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. To this I hold, my only hope is Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing. All is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing. All is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. By my side, my Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hope, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can see I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Heavenly Father, those words excite me. Those words humble me. When I think of You, Christ, and I think of who I am and what You have made me to be, and Lord, I think of who I was and still am, and because of You, Jesus, because You willingly went to the cross, because You willingly took upon Yourself at great cost my sin, and that I am in You now, Christ. This is my hope. This is my reality. This is which I stand. I don't stand in a reputation that I want for myself. I stand in Christ, my Savior, who loved me, who took upon Himself the death, the punishment that I deserved. Jesus, my prayer is that you would help us to see, to believe, to live out of Christ in us. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. And by faith, we believe that we are forgiven, that it is finished, that we have been reconciled back to you. Thank you, Jesus. What love is this? An amazing love that you have given to us and show us. And we give you the glory, King Jesus. For you alone are worthy. Through Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. If you're watching this with friends or family member, I would just exhort you to take a few moments. What have you heard from God during this service? Consider often the cross of Christ. I want to invite you to join us for Easter Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Thank you.